Hello and welcome to another KETR's Locker Room. I'm Cooper Welch. With me are my other hosts, Ryan Billups and Taylor Phelps. We're glad that Ryan is back from his sickness, and we'll try to get started real quick. What we're going to cover is Tiger Woods dating Lindsey Vonn. That's a pretty interesting topic. Try to reach out a little bit more to the ladies in our audience. We've also got NCAA March Madness. We're going to talk how bad my bracket is. We're also going to talk storming the court, other things like that. And then we'll finish off with the Cowboys. All right, so first, guys, let's talk Lindsey Vonn and Tiger Woods dating.
I think it's a PR move, personally. I think it immediately makes Tiger more sympathetic. I think it makes Vonn a household name. And it's just conveniently right before the 2014 Winter Olympics.
Right.
She's going to become really popular. You know, Olympic stars make their money off sponsors. Sponsors see that. They're watching. I personally think it's a PR move. I don't know. They're like 9-10 years apart in age. It just seems strange. Regardless, Tiger seems to have his mojo back. You fix your on the court problems. You fix your off the court problems. Your on the court problems start to look better. And I think that's convenient right before the Masters.
That's very true. And, I mean, we've seen crazier stuff in Hollywood. All sorts of...
True.
Like Billy Bob Thornton and Angelina Jolie. They were together for a while.
Yeah. I don't really know much about it. I mean, I know it might be a PR move. It might not. I just don't really care either way. But
did you see those pictures they posted on Facebook?
Yes, they had some
Facebook.
Tropical palm.
They had some
pictures. It almost looks like they were in a studio and took these, like, they weren't really snapping pictures. They were like, hey, let's go take some pictures together, put them on Facebook.
They can afford to go somewhere to take those pictures.
As long as Tiger's golf game is picking up, I'm fine because the game of golf needs that. The game of golf needs Tiger or someone like Tiger, and without him, it really struggles a lot.
Yeah, I mean, watching golf on TV, even with Tiger, is a little for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know what you're
talking about. Tiger has absolutely been the face of golf, and he is skyrocketed
for our whole generation.
Ratings.
Mm-hmm. It's been that way. I know that
Arnold Palmer.
When I imagine
golf needs
a golf
Tiger to be good,
I see Tiger Woods, and if our generation is going to grow up and continue to watch golf and continue to like teach it to our kids, then Tiger's going to need to be a central focus of that until the next person comes along that our kids and the next generation will be able to cling to in the game of golf.
And that's why sports like boxing has completely died off as an interest in America, because there's no really, I mean, you could go with like Floyd Mayweather Jr. Or the guy from the Philippines.
Manny Pacquiao.
Manny Pacquiao. Yes, Pacquiao. I mean, those guys are big names, but they're not, you know, up there with Ali.
Oh, definitely.
But anyway, so Tiger for golf is great, but Tiger for women, not so great.
Yeah, I don't know what Lindsey Vonn heard about their last breakup, but it wasn't. Maybe she should have done a little bit more research.
Yeah, and then also, I mean, she was married
Last Olympics.
She may not be innocent herself.
Yeah.
She was married to another skier. And she still has his last name.
Yeah, she still has his last name.
So,
all right. Well, let's move on to the next topic. We've got March Madness happening right now. It's on the TV right now. We're watching it as we're recording this podcast for you guys. Want to stay as up to date with this information as we can. So, my bracket is just totally screwed.
Yeah, let's start with yesterday.
Yeah.
I did pretty good yesterday. I'm not going to lie. I went 12 for 16 in games. I picked the Harvard upset. I picked the Oregon upset.
I can't believe you picked the Harvard upset.
Yeah, that's the one that got me.
I just, to be honest, and I put this on Twitter last night.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys saw it.
I saw it.
I wasn't that shocked. Like, when I looked at the bracket, I was shocked more that New Mexico was a 3 seed than that Harvard was a 14 seed and could beat them. I saw this as being a much more competitive game. And when I look at the other 3 seeds, like Marquette-Davidson, that's a game I missed. I picked Davidson to upset Marquette. Well, Marquette, to me, is better than New Mexico. They deserve a 3 seed, and Davidson comes from not the same conference. It's just that was the one, to me, that was set up out of the 1, 2, and 3 seed games set up to where there could potentially be an upset there. Well, I mean, Michigan State, Valparaiso, that's never going to happen. I don't think the Florida Northwestern State game will happen. I mean,
no.
Well, just so the fans know the scoreboard right now, Taylor and I are tied with 130 points right now in second place. Cooper is tied in fourth place with 120 points. So the game is very close. The first place guy has 140 points. So
but
it's within 10 points.
Yeah, but there is a qualifier because Wisconsin just lost today. And for me, that was one of my Final Four teams.
Yeah, your PPR stupidly. Is really low.
That is the tough part about these brackets.
You have the lowest PPR in the league.
Yeah,
right
my
now.
Possible points remaining is what that PPR stands
yours
for.
Yours is 1580.
Yeah.
Me and Taylor's is 1720, mine 1700.
So that means even if my bracket is completely right the rest
last
of the time.
The last place guy is 1660, who's even
yeah.
above you.
Yeah, so there's no possible way for me to win this NCAA bracket, so I'm just going to watch it as a
you
fan
gotta start
now.
I mean, we knew
some,
that going into it.
You
got to
start
yeah.
getting
oh,
some.
Oh, thanks. All right, well, obviously, I'm not the NCAA March Madness expert in the room, I guess. I guess I'll hand that title to you guys. I'll just be the NBA expert and stick with my Spurs.
Fair enough.
The biggest, I think Wisconsin was a big upset, though. I could definitely yeah. have seen them going farther. But I listened to Charles Barkley talk about them, and he made a good point. Teams like Wisconsin are very solid teams,
mm-hmm.
but you got to have the talent.
Yeah.
You got to have the talented teams. And Wisconsin plays the way Bo Ryan teaches them, and Bo Ryan's a great coach. Mm-hmm. That's why they're successful year in and year out. But they don't just have that super talent that's going to put them to the next level. And I should have realized that with Ole Miss having much more talented players like Marshall Henderson, who can really do things in the tournament and can win those, just win and survive yeah. in advance, like we've seen people say.
If it had been any other team against Ole Miss in that five seed, I probably would have gone old. Well, I don't want to say any old team because I would have picked Duke over them, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. But any of the five seed.
Any five seed,
like
I would have
you look
picked,
at five seeds like UNLV and yeah. Virginia Commonwealth and Oklahoma State. Those are some five seeds. And those 5-12 matchups are tough, too. They're yeah. tough to pick. I think that's the toughest games to pick because the 12 seed is always good.
Mm-hmm.
They're always solid and good. They're not just some scrub teams. And the five seed is always one of those big major conference people who was kind of middle of the pack, started off the year ranked high.
Yeah.
Then they kind of fell off and then regained it at the end. So they get into the tournament. So that's always a tough game to pick. And you saw that with Oregon winning.
Yeah, three
well,
of
I'll
the four.
I'll tell you what's getting me. The 8 and 9 seeds. Pittsburgh.
That's a hard. Yeah.
I had Pittsburgh going to the Sweet 16 and lose.
Ooh.
I had them beating Gonzaga.
Okay.
And then losing to Kansas State in the Sweet 16. So I obviously missed on that one. I
just don't really
trust. I still
think
I'm right about Gonzaga, though. I don't think they're. You saw it in the first round. They almost lose to Southern University. What? Mm-hmm. Who is Southern University? Like,
I just think that Gonzaga is still going to be all right. I think with Wisconsin losing, that helps them.
It definitely helps them.
I think their brackets.
I think their brackets weak.
I think their brackets weak anyway.
I think they lose to Kansas State though.
But I think they got a little bit of a scare with Southern. And you got to remember, they haven't played in a while. It's been a while since they played their last game. So this
That's
is
true.
Kind of a coming back game. It's always tough. You know, teams like Southern. These high seeds are going to play their hardest game, and I'm telling you, it's hard if you're the top four.
That
team
would
in the
have
nation.
Been the first time in NCAA basketball history, though.
I know, and it's hard though. It's hard though when you're the number one team, mm-hmm. when you're a number one team in the nation to get pumped up for some 16 seed that I'm telling you these guys have never heard of. I guarantee you, half the Gonzaga team has
and
never heard of Southern.
Southern
University.
Should have won that game
they
if they would
have
taken it. If they would have taken it to the hoop and drawn some fouls, they would have won that game. But they kept trying to do these little fadeaway
yeah,
step back.
That's why Gonzaga's advancing, though.
Yeah.
And
because
so,
the – although, I mean, I see the coaching level and the raw talent of Gonzaga, but I didn't see the enthusiasm, like you said. I saw, like, Kelly Olynyk just
walking
around.
He should have fouled
out
of the game if they would have just taken it out.
I'm sure – I'm just telling you, I think they're going to be much more ready – for Wichita State. I think
Let's
Mark
hope
few,
so.
I think they do
to
beat
to be
Wichita
honest,
State.
They might have been already preparing for Wichita State,
yeah.
As good as they are. And I think they did a brief overview of Southern, but as soon as that game was over, that's a wake-up call for them, too. They're saying, oh, crud, we may not be...
This is tournament basketball.
This is tournament time. We've been off for a week mm-hmm. while all these other teams are just coming off their conference tournaments. It's time to get real. We're number one seed. And Mark Few's a good coach. He's going to have them ready. And like Wisconsin has good coaching and good players but not great players, Gonzaga has good coaching and great players. Mm-hmm. So I think they have a lot more potential in a weak bracket to be able to make it to the Final Four.
Well, let's talk about the Marquette-Davidson game. Taylor, you predicted Davidson to win that game.
I was very frustrated.
Tell us how you felt during the end of that game.
To be honest, I wasn't watching the game. I was actually in the rec center playing basketball. I go to my phone, and I had seen before that Davidson, I think Davidson was winning, actually.
Yeah, they were up.
They were
and
up.
I'm like, okay, I'm pretty confident Davidson will pull this out. You know, a bunch of experts picked Davidson to win. Mm-hmm. And I get back to my phone, they lost by 1 point, and I was just so mad.
And
it
wasn't even like a top 10 ESPN type play to end the game.
It was just
a layup. I mean, he just drove by him and hit a finger roll layup to win the game. I mean, it was so easy.
The Butler Bucknell game was close too.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it
Butler
was
pulling that one out. But I think, like I said, I don't think we talked about upsets last time on the show, and I don't think that there's just going to be those amazing upsets. Like, we've had the 12 seed upsets, but those happen every year. This is nothing. It's nothing we have never seen before. It's some 12 seed upsets.
I think we see a lot of the top teams fall. I really do.
Are you talking about like in the second and third rounds, like in the Sweet 16?
Yeah, as we get further into it. I think you see some 4 seeds have a legitimate shot at making it far. 2
seeds,
VCU. Definitely.
VCU.
I have VCU going.
Oh, VCU killed. They
I have
killed
VCU
Akron.
Going to the Elite 8. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's embarrassing for Akron.
Yeah.
To make the tournament great
seed.
And everything.
A 5 seed.
That was a 5 seed being a 12 seed.
I think
that
teams
badly.
Like that have a chance this year. Oh, more than they do in past years.
I think if VCU by some miracle was to face Gonzaga in the championship, they win easy.
Oh, absolutely.
Not even close.
I think so too. Because of the way they play basketball.
VCU, VCU could lose. I don't think they'll make it because I think they'll end up playing a team like Indiana who's not going to turn the ball over. That they got to play people that aren't. If somebody plays
VCU
them, that's not
plays
gonna
a
turn the
hectic
ball over.
Defensive basketball game to where they just force turnovers and just they're all over the place.
What I'm afraid of is VCU playing Georgetown, because I have Georgetown in the Final Four, and if VCU is to make it to the Elite Eight,
I have
play
Georgetown beating VCU.
See, I don't even have VCU. I have VCU losing to Michigan, which I don't know if that's going to happen after I've seen.
Yeah,
I think they
get past Michigan.
I do too.
If Georgetown plays VCU, that's going to be tough because I see Georgetown as a team who will turn the ball over.
Okay.
And Otto Porter may get frustrated, and I just think VCU has a clean road of teams that will turn the ball over to them.
So who are y'all's Final Four?
Updated Final Four, or
because
I had Wisconsin.
Let's hear what you have originally, Cooper.
Okay, originally I had. Let me make sure I got this right. I had Wisconsin. I had Louisville, Indiana, and.
Do you have Miami? No, you had Indiana.
No, you had Florida.
Do you have Georgetown?
Florida.
Oh,
Florida, Indiana, Wisconsin, and Louisville.
And who was your national championship game?
Florida and Louisville, and Florida wins.
Boy,
so that could still
Do you remember
happen.
Your score?
65-59.
Okay. So
all my
game.
Final Four teams are intact. In fact, all my Elite Eight teams are still intact.
And me too.
And everyone but one of my Sweet 16 teams is still intact.
I lost a couple Gonzaga,
Indiana, Georgetown making the Final Four. Gonzaga against Indiana and Indiana winning.
We haven't
even seen Indiana yet, so I don't know.
I had New Mexico and Pittsburgh both in the Sweet 16. They're both out. All my Elite Eight teams are intact. My Final Four is I have Ohio State, Miami, Georgetown, and Louisville. And then I have Louisville and Miami in the national championship game.
Okay.
And I have Miami winning it 79-76.
I picked Miami in one of my other brackets.
Did you?
So.
Let's talk real fast about Harvard's chances.
Okay.
After what happened.
Is that our Cinderella story right now?
Did any of you watch Harvard?
I didn't get to watch
I watched
the game.
A little bit. I watched some highlights.
I watched the whole Harvard game last night.
I think the thing I see with Harvard is they have a game plan and they follow through with it completely. They're able, like a lot of teams, you'll see them.
And that's what I said on Twitter last night. Has a hashtag. They can follow a game plan.
Yeah, like they're not gonna.
And you got to think that the minute they found out what they were gonna do, they followed.
And they did
were game
the
planning
whole
right then.
Game. Most teams you see kind of get away from their game plan. They didn't. Are they our Cinderella story this year?
I think they are.
Especially
it's
in that
It's the closest
bracket.
We have so far. I mean, we have games going on today, and that'll definitely
I mean, they could end up like a Lehigh and lose next round or something and not really make it. But I'm telling you, in their bracket, I have them playing Arizona. I picked that right. But I don't know now that I see Harvard against Arizona. I'm just not sure. And Arizona played very well yesterday. But their point guard for Harvard can play. That guy can get in there. He finds his shooters. He dumps down to the big man. He makes two people guard him in the lane.
Making Jeremy Lin proud.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And Jeremy Lin was all over
Very
Twitter
smart
yesterday.
Point guard. He was so pumped. Yeah. And the only thing that will really hurt Harvard is they cannot stop posts.
Right.
They have no post defense.
I don't think they gave
up
Arizona.
They gave up offensive rebound after offensive rebound after offensive rebound off penetration.
Yeah.
And if they can just stop penetration and block out, they'll be fine. But
that's honestly one
thing. I think Arizona wins.
Yeah, that's if they somehow get past Arizona, I think Gonzaga is one of few teams that could actually do well against them because they have such a
post
presence.
Well, if they get back past Arizona, they'll still have to play Ohio State, assuming they make it there.
That's true.
They're not going to get by Ohio State.
I don't know
Ohio
if Ohio
State's
State
a big team.
Is going to get there either, though, because Ohio State has not impressed me in the Big 10
but
tournament.
They have a really easy bracket.
That's true.
Aaron Kraft, though, Aaron Kraft is so underrated as a player.
And guard play is very important.
They're probably going to end up playing Iowa State. Iowa State or Notre Dame in the second round. That's just...
Who do you guys have Iowa State and Notre Dame?
Iowa State, easy.
I have Iowa State as
Iowa
well.
Iowa State, I had them too. So that's an upset we all picked. I saw Notre Dame play at the end of the year, and I think
they're
playing
well.
Notre
Dame, yeah, they don't impress me at all.
Well, we'll know soon enough what happens. All right, guys, let's very quickly, before we go to commercial break, let's talk the other controversial topic that we had planned. Should, when big upsets like Harvard over New Mexico happen, even though Taylor saw it coming, when those things happen, should players be allowed to rush the court? Not players.
I'm going to read
the players. Yeah. The players can do whatever they want.
I'm going to read a quote. The reason we're talking about this is probably about a month back. After Duke lost to Virginia, Virginia fans stormed the court. Coach K was incredibly angry. He came out. I'm going to read what he had to say, what his interpretation of should fans be able to storm the court. He said, whatever you're doing, you need to get the team off first. Coach K said about 15 minutes later after the news conference, look, celebrate, have fun. Obviously you won. That's cool. Just get our team off the court and our coaching staff before the students come on.
Right.
He goes, do you know how close you are to just put yourself in that position of one of our players or coaches? And I'm not saying any fan did this, but the potential is all there all the time. They can just go up to you and say, coach, you're a bleep, 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 or push you or hit you or whatever. What do you do? What if we did retaliate? That would be a story, right? We deserve that type of protection. I'm always concerned about stuff like that, especially at this time of year. What if that happened and we get a kid suspended and that becomes national story? It's not all fun and games when people are running onto the court, especially for the team that lost. They should have the fun and bum benches and do all that stuff. I'm all for that. They are a great school, great kids. But get us off the court. That's the bottom line.
Right.
That's true. But Coach K has been in a place that's so good for so long, they've had no reason to storm the court.
And he didn't say it, but what he was referring to is what happens if someone runs out there with a knife or something.
Yeah, which happened.
It's true. 96, it's true. But what they need to do is have security for the visiting team. They need to have security for the visiting surrounding those players and the coaching staff, and they need to get off the court as fast as possible.
Go look at
it. It's on them, too. They don't need to walk off the... I mean, they do kind of
it happens
get
so
caught
quick,
up.
Though. The buzzer rang, and they're on the court.
But they need to know, this team's about to storm the court. We need to get off, and the coach needs to be.
You watch the video,
assistant
though?
Coaches, they got seven assistant coaches out there. They need to be ready for this to happen, too. It's going to happen. It's hard to stop, and it should be allowed to happen. If you're a team that's not very good, and you beat a number one seed, you should be allowed to celebrate. Storming the court is such a tradition in college basketball.
Okay,
why would you stop it?
But how about this?
Because of that potential.
Because of the potential to injury. But you could celebrate fine, but do you have to celebrate on the court? Do you have to run out there where people could get trampled or other things like that could happen? Like, it's soccer all the time. You see people get trampled, not for celebrating, but for, you know, rampages because they're all mad because Europeans take soccer way too seriously. But that's beside the point. but I mean, the injury risk is there. But
doesn't it just feel like to y'all that we're waiting for something to happen?
Yeah.
We're waiting for someone to get trampled or for someone to get stabbed or a player to get hurt. Mm-hmm. It's like we're waiting for that to happen before we make a rule against it. Why not just stop it now? Or at least let the opposing team get off the
court. I see a lot of schools put security people up.
Or make an announcement.
Or make an announcement to stop it, but it still happens.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have
armed guards, though,
if you
it's
have
not going to happen. 100
kids rushing at you, It's just hard to stop.
Right. Well, Billups brings up armed guards. What's the line there then? Do we have armed guards? Do we have plexiglass around the entire court?
Like, you don't go that far. But what's wrong with having a, you know, on duty policeman?
A lot of games do though,
and that's what I'm saying. So,
but how many policemen are you gonna have?
But they don't enforce the rule. That they allow it. It's not like they're saying this is not allowed. You will get in trouble if you do this.
But let's put ourselves in the shoes of the policeman. If you have a policeman there, they're not gonna shoot the kid.
No,
not for just running the court.
The most they can do is run them down and arrest them.
And those kids don't want to get arrested. I promise you that.
Who are you going to arrest though? If 150 to 200 people arrest,
that's
court?
The risk of rushing the court for the fan. Is you don't know if it's going to be you.
Right.
Yeah. Obviously, they're not going to get everybody, but it could be you.
I just don't think they'll put a stop to it.
But I think they need to try
and to enforce it at every level. To enforce it from
high school up.
High school,
it's just,
division
two. It's just
two.
Too dangerous for the opposing team. The fans have been yelling, cursing at these players all game long. They're already mad at these other players, the opposing players. Like Coach K said, if you watch that after the game, fans are coming up to him and just cussing him out, cussing the other players out. What's to stop some crazy fan from, you know, pulling a knife out or, you know, pulling a chair out and start, you know.
I think the only solution is you get security immediately around the players and coaches,
which
and
they
don't
already
keep
do.
Them off the court, but get them as
but if you
soon
watch that video of Duke
together.
And Virginia, those the fans, they surrounded Duke like they couldn't leave because everything was blocked off by the fan. They were stuck.
And this is Coach K in the heat of the moment too.
Right.
True, it is, but rightfully so. He knew the risk was there. He was out there. He felt the anger from the fans. That's why he was so angry.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we've got a Facebook poll posted on this question. The three choices right now are no, they shouldn't be allowed, yes, they should be allowed to rush the court, or only if the players and coaches are taken off first.
Okay.
So you can vote on that, and we're going to have a very quick commercial break. We'll be back with Cowboys right after this.
It's Friday, and start your weekend off right with Up Next, the best and latest hip-hop and R&B from up-and-coming artists. I'm your host, Big Chris, and with my co-host, Kayla and Lady Low, we will bring you entertainment news, hot topics, a few laughs, plus much more. Class is back in session, and tonight is going to be a big night as we have many guests in the studio celebrating Alpha Week. You don't want to miss tonight's show.
Up Next, tonight at 9, following Notably Texan on your station, 88.9 KETR.
All right, welcome back for another segment of KETR's Locker Room, the only sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Cooper Welch, Ryan Billups, Taylor Phelps. Right now we're going to talk Cowboys football. So what's happened recently, guys? Do you have anything going on?
They've been relatively quiet.
They have. It seems like they're just getting ready. They're going to pro days. They're going to, you know, they did the combine stuff. They're getting ready. They're making their board. They're, you know, checking every possible thing they can about every player they're interested in, all the background. They're getting ready for the draft.
Ready for the draft.
Making a list, checking it twice.
I just haven't heard much from Jerry Jones lately. So,
well, I got two updates at least. We may go a third. Marcus Spears is gone first. He's already been tendered by someone else.
Yes.
And then the second big update is Stephen Jones is saying he wants to be the GM. His son, Jerry Jones' son, is come out and said, I want to be the GM. And that may be this following
season. What
does
that mean, though? That just means Jerry Jones is controlling someone else. I mean,
yeah.
it's all the same. I mean,
you know, you never know.
At
it
least
could
it's
be
someone
a little
else.
Bit different.
Yeah, at least it's someone else.
And if it didn't work out that way,
at least you
Jerry
know
just fire him, fire his own son, and take it back over again.
So I don't know. I wish Jerry Jones would get himself out of the dealing of the players.
I wish he would get out of.
Did
Dallas,
y'all hear Jerry Jones say this last? I guess it was a couple of weeks ago. He said that he does not believe it's the players' fault. He says he thinks he says it's not a personnel issue.
Mm-hmm.
Our team does not have a personnel issue. It's a coaching issue. So he has put. Jerry, or he has
our
put
team has
Jason
plenty
Garrett
of flaws
on the spot
back on the hottest seat again. I mean, yeah. He was already on the hottest seat,
and
in
it's
NFL,
his contract season,
and it's his contract season. So he's basically said it is not personnel, it is coaching. That, I mean, first off, that's not true.
Yeah,
I think there is definitely a mixture there. Probably more personnel than coaching, but I can't believe a owner GM would come out and throw his coach under the bus like that.
I mean, I believe it, and I guess I look a lot at.
I believe it, but
I believe it because it's Jerry Jones, but I don't think it's the right thing to do.
Right.
I look a lot at Dallas owners, and I try to compare Jones to Mark Cuban a lot because I think Cuban's a good owner.
Or Nolan Ryan.
I think they're both very good owners and people in high positions in their franchises. And Mark Cuban, I don't think he'd do that to Rick Carlisle.
Right.
But
he would
also.
But
Mark Cuban doesn't act as a GM either.
Yeah, and Rick Carlisle's a lot more respected than Jason Garrett is, just saying.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh,
Rick
definitely.
Carlisle is highly respected.
Rick Carlisle's won a championship.
Yeah.
And even not to say Mark Cuban wouldn't fire his coach. I mean, you look at Avery. They brought him to the championship. Next year,
But he's not going to put him in a position. He's either going to fire him or he's not going to fire him. He's not going to sit there and talk trash about him.
He didn't, and he just fired him. And yeah, I think it was the right move.
Exactly, and he's not going to talk trash about him on the media.
But if you look at Avery's record, you wouldn't think he'd get fired. I mean, he went to the championship.
He went to the finals.
He went the next year. They won, like, 60-something games. The year after that, they lost.
But even
the first
though we're
round.
Off topic, something's wrong with Avery anyway, getting fired at Brooklyn. Something goes on in the NBA behind closed doors you don't see. And it goes on in every sports organization. And people are like, oh, my gosh, how could he have gotten fired? Why is he leaving? Why is he leaving this early? There's things that go on behind closed doors that you don't see as just the everyday fan.
Yeah.
And so sometimes they're the right move because you don't see what goes on in practice every day. You don't see what's going on between players and coaches in
That's
the
true.
Locker room.
But, it may have just been because they didn't like Avery's voice. I mean,
it could be anything.
I don't know how long you could take.
Yeah, that's a
squeaky.
If you don't like a squeaky talker, then your team may not be as good as it was if you had someone else. Yeah. So maybe it's the right move. I don't know.
All right. Well, what else can we talk about the Cowboys?
Well, what do we think we'll go for in the draft?
I think it's got to be a safety, a starter caliber safety.
We don't have anything right now.
Yeah.
We have to get a safety. But we also have to get offensive linemen.
And a backup quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, those are must. Like, we literally, I mean, you look at last year, I don't think I can handle watching another Cowboys season where Romo is running for his life again. I don't think I can talk about
what they need a lot.
I can't handle that. It's just, it's so frustrating to watch when the second you snap the ball, the defense is there and Romo's having to make a split decision. A lot of times ends up in an interception. A lot of times it ends up in a sack fumble. I mean, it's just so many bad things can happen when you have a bad offensive line. So
the Cowboys aren't in a good position. But we just talked about the Mavericks, so let's move to Mavericks real fast.
Okay,
we don't
real
have much
quick.
Time at
we
all.
Only got about a minute left.
So what do you think right now, Billups?
They lost the other night against New Jersey. That definitely hurt.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn Nets now, not New Jersey Nets. That definitely hurt their chances. If they would have won that game, they would have only been 2.5 games out of the playoffs.
I remember texting you. You were at that game.
I was at that game. They didn't. That hurt. They play the Celtics tonight.
Celtics are struggling. They can win that
it's
game.
It's obviously we get Sean Marion back. It's obviously a
it's real dependent on what the Lakers and Utah do right now, and we'll just have to see from there.
I don't have my calculations with me, but I want to say they have 2 games left they can lose or one. I think 1 or 2 games left if they're going to get to 45 wins.
Right.
But keep watching them because they're entertaining right now.
They're very entertaining to watch, lose or win. They compete against any team in the league.
Definitely.
I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but maybe the Lakers. I mean, we just need the Lakers to be bad, honestly. We're not going to win by ourselves. We have to have some help.
Yeah,
so.
Which everyone would enjoy the Lakers being bad.
And so,
all right, well, we got 20 seconds left, so very quickly, who's going to end the Heat streak? They're at 24 games now. Really quick, real quick.
I'm thinking it will be the Spurs.
Okay, that's on March 31st.
I'm pretty sure that's going to be
it. I'm with you. I think the Spurs end it.
Okay, I think the Bulls on March 27th have a really good chance.
I think with Derrick Rose,
especially
they had
if Derrick
a better
Rose
chance.
Comes back.
But I don't. I
well,
I
they're
think
saying
the Spurs are
Derrick Rose
the best
could
chance.
Play that game.
Will Parker be back when they play the Heat?
Parker's back tonight.
Okay, so he's back. So I'm pretty sure it'll be the Spurs.
All right. Well, we'll see next. Well, they'll
impressive,
do it 2 Tuesdays from now.
Yeah.
whoever beats it, we'll see who wins. Thank you so much for listening to KETR's Locker Room this week. We'll be back Tuesday at 2. This has been KETR's Locker Room.